The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The championship, 32 years in the making.
The city of champions,
decision,
Tony.
Decision, second guest, right after his first guest. All those boos, and Justin Turner making sure this World Series was the most 2020 it could possibly be. With Bill Blaschke, Ramona Shelburne, the return of Emily Kaplan, and Kevin Blackstone. What's up, Emily? The return from the humble.
The hockey bubble?
City of Champions, Tony.
City of Champions.
City of Champions.
City of Champions. I hear you, though. I hear you, Ramona.
You got that.
We're going to try to separate baseball's COVID problem, taking over at the most inconceivable moment, and Justin Turner and the Dodgers brazenly defying the rules to have him come back out on the field and celebrate. Separate that from the actual game and championship, but that might not be possible. So let's go for it. This game. And this World Series and this long-awaited Dodgers redemption coming down to a decision so direct, it's second-guessing only surpassed by its first-guessing. Blake Snell was electric. He had thrown 73 pitches. He let up his second hit of the night, and Kevin Cash did what he and the Rays have done all season with incredible success. He lifted his pitcher in the sixth inning and went to the bullpen, and it failed. And many think it decided the World Series. Around the horns, Bill Plaschke, was it the wrong decision or was it the right decision with the wrong outcome?
Thank you, Kevin Cash. Thank you for everyone from LA for letting the Dodgers back in and win the World Series. It was a terrible decision. Two hits. He struck out nine in four innings, the hottest start by a pitcher since Sandy Koufax in 63 in a World Series. The next three hitters he was facing were 0-for-6 against him with six strikeouts. There's no way you take him out of this game except if you're using analytics and using the numbers and not using the eye test. Numbers are for the regular season. The eye test is for the postseason. Kevin Cash flunked it big time. Terrible decision.
Ramona Shelburne, was it the wrong decision or just the right decision with the wrong outcome?
Look, it was a terrible decision. And I know they've done this all year and this is how they play, but don't even ask me the question. Ask the Dodger hitters the question. When they asked them post game, like Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, all those, when they took him out, the Dodger hitters were like, "Woo, we got Snell out of the game." I mean, like they couldn't even conceal their joy. And I mean, normally you try to be cool about it. You don't want to criticize the other manager. That decision right there let the Dodger hitters know we got a game now. Because before that, Snell was unhittable. And I think at some point you just have to feel the game. And Dave Roberts, his on the other side of things, felt the game. When the Dodgers have Julio Urias dealing, Julio Urias was just dealing.
Kept him in.
You don't take him out in the night.
Kept him in the night, yeah.
Leave him in. If he's rolling, he's rolling.
We'll bring in Emily Kaplan now. Kevin Cash, after the game, man, said this was not planned, predetermined in any sort of way. Do you believe that? Was it the wrong decision?
I wish that Kevin Cash was just honest with us and he gave us the truth. And he said, every single decision I make is in concert with our front office. We believe in a process. This is how we got here with the 28th best payroll. And we never allow starting pitchers to get past the sixth inning. Instead, he said it wasn't planned, which said it's a real-time decision, which is him telling on himself that he has a terrible read of the room. Because as Ramona said, ask any Dodgers player, do you want Blake Snell still in the game? They'd say no. When is it a good idea to do exactly what your opponent wants you to do?
Kevin Blackstone.
Nine strikeouts, no walks, 73 pitches, in complete control. This from a manager who in game one allowed his starter to go 112 pitches and get knocked around the stadium. So this was absolutely the wrong decision at the absolute worst time. As Bill said, there's sometimes you don't pay attention to numbers. You pay attention to what's in your gut. You pay attention to what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. This was game six. Everything was on the line, and you pulled this.
Well, let me ask you this then directly, Kevin Blackstone. Do you think it decided the series?
Well, it decided the series in the sense that you lost this game, which you couldn't afford to lose. I mean, you couldn't get to game seven. So in that sense, yeah, it did.
Ramona, you're shaking your head no?
Decide the series.
No, they scored one run. I mean, look, as bad as a decision as this was, I know the Dodgers immediately scored. I mean, Nick Anderson comes in. He's given up a run in six straight games. He gives up two runs right after that. I mean, what did you – he's obviously not been rolling. But the Rays weren't scoring off the Dodger pitchers. Like, on the – you know, as bad as that decision was, it didn't –
Another question. Do you see this as an all-time managerial error in the history of baseball, or do you see it maybe as a damning moment of the analytics movement? In any way, Plaschke?
I see it as both, but I think the most interesting part about this, the ironic thing is the process that Cash was using to take Snell out of the game, who put that process into the Tampa Bay organization? Andrew Friedman. So it was like the Trojan horse. His system came back to he won because of his system failed. No, but this was an all-time bad decision, and it does – This hurts the analytics movement, Tony. Because
you believe
again,
that
people think.
Do you believe that analytics were involved in how the Dodgers played yesterday and how they went to the bullpen game? Because the answer to that is also yes, Bill Plaschke. And then in that case, analytics gets a W here.
No, but the analytics. There's no analytics that can measure Mookie Betts. I mean, he's the difference in the Dodgers team this year. Mm-hmm. There's no analytics that can measure the kind of payroll they had for these players. There's no analytics that can measure how Roberts handled and massaged that bullpen and figured it out. No, I don't think you were. I think they.
Some would argue there is to those rhetorical animals. Questions that you put out there, but that's a let's not get bogged down in that. Taking the Snell out of it, how this Dodgers team came together. Look at Ramona; she can't even deal with this. 32 years you waited for this, Ramona. This team came together in ways they couldn't the last two World Series losses. They couldn't for the last three decades. That goes for Clayton Kershaw, and that goes for Dave Roberts. So, Ramona, what was the defining reason this team finally did it? What does this Dodgers championship mean?
Look, you know, when the Red Sox won, all the players afterwards said it wasn't because we weren't thinking about the history of how long it's been in Boston since the Red Sox won. It's the same thing here with this team. They've been to the World Series three out of the last 4 years. They have 10 guys who have been on all of those teams. And I think they had been there enough where they understood how to play in these moments. And Corey Seager said it best after the game. He goes, we stopped trying to wait around to see who was going to hit the big home run to win us the game. Yeah. And we started manufacturing hit runs. And the two runs they scored last night, those were manufactured runs. That was the number nine hitter getting on base. Mookie Betts hitting a bad bounce double, but then having a great read on a ball hit to the first baseman and scoring from third. That's old school baseball.
But if I had to put you on the spot right here, the defining reason why this was the team that pulled it together. Is it Mookie Betts, Ramona? Is it Clayton Kershaw finally getting over the hump?
I know who it is.
Go ahead, Bill.
It's Mookie Betts. There's no question. Andrew Friedman went out and paid $365 million to a guy to change it, the culture of the team in October. A big game guy, a big moment guy. And again, all the analytics they've used in the past, they threw us out the window and got Mookie Betts. He was the difference this year at the top of the order than any of the past six or eight failures. Mm-hmm.
Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, I'd have to say Mookie Betts, too. I mean, I was kind of surprised that he didn't get the MVP. I mean, I thought this guy had one less hit than Corey Seager, won as many home runs, four stolen bases, the defining hit that Ramona just mentioned in Game 6, the home run thievery that he had. That was absolutely fantastic playing by him. He changed the whole culture of that team.
And Emily Kaplan?
The reason the Dodgers won is because they were the best team all season. They had a +136 run differential. They only lost one of 20.
But they were the best team in other seasons as well. Seasons they lost the World Series, but, Emily.
Right.
Anthony.
Yeah.
Please.
Tony,
please.
Tony, let me explain this to you. Because I think we're past the point now where people believe if you win a championship in a pandemic or in bubble, it deserves an asterisk. If anything, it deserves an asterisk because it is the most challenging. And as we've seen in all sports right now, because it is the most uncertain time, the most talented team rises to the top.
All right.
We saw it with the Storm, we saw it with the Lightning, we saw it with the Lakers, and now the Dodgers.
I think I have to go to my room now. Mom is Mama Rialli, though, very happy to hear the first name she gave me. You know, Shelburne, you said something that I really liked, that Corey Seager said we weren't waiting around for the big hit. And then Cody Bellinger said, well, we'll move on. Now let's talk Justin Turner, because this is just enormous. Reading from ESPN's Jeff Passan, in this oddest of years, this most peculiar baseball season, there was perhaps no more telling snapshot of the United States circa 2020 than a COVID-19 positive man sitting on the ground, maskless, next to a cancer survivor, maskless as well. This played out in real time, how baseball didn't know Justin Turner's test for Monday was inconclusive, allegedly, until the second inning Tuesday. Didn't know his second test was positive until the eighth. He was pulled from the game then, only to see him back on the field celebrating, at times maskless. What just happened, Ramona?
Okay, Tony, I'm putting my mask on. Because JT, I know you want to celebrate with your teammates. I understand that you earned that. I don't really have that much of a problem with you doing that, but you don't take your mask off in the photo, and you don't take your mask off when you're sitting next to Dave Roberts, who's a cancer survivor. You don't do that.
So you didn't have a problem with him defying what the guidelines were, too, because he was to be isolated. You don't have a problem with that. You believe the need to celebrate.
I do. I think he can celebrate. Look, he should isolate. But I'm not. I don't think the reaction we would have had would have been as bad if he would have kept his mask on, right? Like, going over and hugging Clayton Kershaw, who has two young kids, going over and sitting next to Dave Roberts, who had Hodgkin's lymphoma 10 years ago. I don't know how you do that without a mask on.
Emily Kaplan?
I think, honestly, it was selfish and it was tactless. And for a brief moment in time, even Kim Kardashian would agree. Like, this is a guy who came out there and disregarded all of the protocols in place. It was a really, really tough thing to stomach.
Bill Plaschke?
Yeah, this was a massive failure on all parts. And Ramona, no, he shouldn't have been out there celebrating. He should have left. Baseball should have gotten him out of the stadium the minute they got a positive test. What was he doing in that doctor's office in the clubhouse? He should get out as a COVID survivor. I am appalled, deeply appalled and disappointed in everyone from this. So baseball should have stopped him from getting on the field. And then he should have stopped himself once he realized he had a free pass to get out there. He should have thought about the others and not been so selfish. Just a terrible, terrible look.
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, we like to celebrate sports as showing good examples to follow. Sports has not done a very good job with COVID. Whether you look at what Turner did, whether you look at what the football coach at SF Austin did down in Texas, who was surviving from COVID and took his shirt off and everything, and we all hooped and hollered about that. You look at what's happening right now in the Big Ten in terms of football being shut down. Sports needs to do a better job.
I hear all that. We've had this conversation for 7 months. We really have. I mean, we have in this nation people who have had to put off celebrations for enormous life accomplishments, high school graduations. Everyone has had to sacrifice in ways like that. I hear what you're saying, Ramona, but I saw Kiki Hernandez. His pregnant wife was on the field celebrating with them. Oh. And everything in that regard. Emily, you were just in the hockey bubble. Hockey made it to their finish line without a positive test, WNBA. They canceled the playoff game at one moment for inconclusive tests, but they made it without it. The NBA, NWSL. How do you believe baseball looks today, Emily?
Well, baseball is the only sport that nearly didn't get on the field this summer because of their owner's greed. They're also the only sport that potentially let us watch a super spreader event unravel on live TV. So I think Rob Manfred has a lot of explaining to do. Unfortunately, with his hubris, I don't think he's ever going to apologize.
Yeah, well, you saw him on the field last night. And the boos came in, and this happens to all commissioners. And this wasn't just about COVID. This was about the Houston Astros, I believe, and a lot of other things. But those boos came in, and Bettman and Goodell drinking those boos. Rob Manfred, he seemed a bit affected by that. What'd you say? We're taking a break here. Back more with the series in 2 minutes.
He should have been affected. Boo.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Some NBA news of the moment to get your take on. The 76ers and Daryl Morey. This dropped out of nowhere today. They're expected to finalize a deal and be president of basketball operations, work alongside GM Elton Brand. Turnover this offseason for Philly. Doc Rivers now coaching. What would Daryl Morey mean to a team with Ben Simmons, who doesn't shoot the three, Ramona, and Joel Embiid, who plays the center position Daryl Morey has gotten away from recently?
Yeah, look, Daryl Morey thinks about basketball differently than we all do. And I think he's, you know, oftentimes credited with changing the game of basketball into what we see today. And so, if you have one of the most unsolvable rosters in basketball, I mean, roster that he's been left with is very hard to maneuver, very hard to solve. Bring in a guy who thinks differently. I like the move. I wish it was done in a different order.
What do you mean by that?
I heard Daryl's name out here for the Philly job earlier in the year.
Okay.
And then he stepped away from the Rockets, and then they hired a coach. Usually you want the president to be hiring the coach, but we'll see.
Emily Kaplan?
Yeah, the Sixers have more money committed than any other team over the next 3 years, and you're going to need to think of it creatively. There's nobody who makes bolder moves than Daryl Morey. I just have a lot of questions. Is Ben Simmons spending the next couple months working on his threes? Where does Joel Embiid fit in? And does Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey's philosophies, are they kind of like oil and water? Are there too many cooks in the kitchen?
Well, that doesn't sound promising altogether. Kevin Blackstone, do you see that this is a right match?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, look, you just hired Doc Rivers, who I don't think went to Philadelphia thinking he was going to have Daryl Morey there as a boss. I think you got Elton Brand sitting there thinking, hey, I thought I was running things, and now Daryl Morey's here. And you got people asking about the three-point question, which really is less of a question because quietly the Sixers this season started shooting a lot more threes and a lot more accurately. It's just that Ben Simmons, who is a cornerstone of the team, eschews shooting the
yes.
three. So how does that fit
So
in?
Again, I'm not hearing, you know, a lot of
no.
Here's
no.
a little bit of this. Kevin and Emily believe it doesn't fit. Plashki, how about you?
All you need to know is this one stat. 99% of the points scored in Morey's small ball teams were by players 6 feet eight and under. The top four scorers of the 76ers are 6 feet eight or taller. It doesn't compute. It just doesn't work.
Okay, it doesn't mean he can't work with taller players, but let's get down to it. Do we see Philadelphia maybe trading Simmons or Embiid for James Harden, Ramona Shelburne? Is that what's going to happen now?
Look, I think they're afraid to trade either of them, but if you go and hire a guy like Daryl Morey with a stature like that, and he believes one of them should go or one should stay, then you leave it up to him.
Simmons for Embiid. Simmons
Morey
for Harden. Do you do that right now? Blackstone?
Ooh, sure.
Blackstone?
Yes.
Yeah, heck yes. Right. But I don't, Daryl Morey should not go to
Simmons. Have that be the last don't word for both Plashki and Blackstone.
City of Champions, Tony. City of Champions.
Well, for maybe from Ramona's that's side of the city, not exactly your side of the city right now. Shelburne, Kaplan, showdown, 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ramona Shelburne, Emily Kaplan, you know how this works, right? Showdown, three topics to debate and then 30 seconds of FaceTime to the winner. Let's go. Take a deep breath. It's time for the Texans to trade J.J. Watt. Woo! Matt Young, Houston Chronicle, wrote it up today. Ramona, make the case for or against the Texans trading Watt and what might be a destination for him. Who should want him?
Woo! That's a hot take, and it braced me when I first heard it, but I actually agree with it. He's about to be 32 years old. The Texans are going nowhere, and they've already traded away their first-round pick this year. They need to reload, and there's a lot of teams out there, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Saints. All those teams would give him a first-round pick.
Emily?
I will give you one good reason not to trade him. Bill O'Brien is not there anymore, so you don't have to make crippling and unpopular trades. Just ask DeAndre Hopkins, the Arizona Cardinals, or any of the Texans teammates of how that turned out.
All right, ouch. You know, I was totally online with Ramona there, but now that you say it like that, I'll split the point. We'll move on. My mindset has been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. Who said it? I always ask these questions, and the guy's right on the screen right there. His name, Trevor. Trevor Lawrence, yes. Emily, is he leaving the door open to stay at Clemson?
I think he is. I read this as a 21-year-old who's like, this isn't the senior year I signed up for. I don't know what I'm going to have for breakfast tomorrow. I don't know what next year holds. I don't see this as an indictment on the Jets, though, because Adam Gase isn't going to be there next year. They're actually in a good situation. They've got good cap space and good draft positions over the next couple years.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence doesn't need any more from Clemson. He's already learned quite a bit about leverage. That was a great statement that he made right there because it sort of gives himself a little leverage on teams that might want to trade for that might want to draft him number one overall if he doesn't want to go there.
Maybe he should be running the QB option more because that's what he did right there. Split the points just to make it interesting. And now Showdown 3, one of my favorite stories we've done in quite some time. Bo Jackson telling Deion Sanders on his podcast. Talk about some A-list guests right there. That if he played in the NFL today, he'd average 350 to 400 yards a game with the way players tackle now. Ramona, does Bo know something here? Or is that just what old players always say?
Bo knows a lot of things, but I don't think anyone would give him that many carries. Like, that's the only... Yes, I think he would do very well in today's NFL, but nobody carries the ball more than, like, 20
times. So you're saying there'd be Bo management, all right? And how about you, Emily Kaplan? Yeah.
Well, this is Emily Kaplan talking on Tony Reality's TV show, and I haven't been on since February. And if I've been on since then, I think I would average 50 points a show and four wins a week.
Oh, no. Wow. That
wow. Bold.
I saw Bill Barnwell tweet this out earlier. In his NFL career, Bo Jackson, who was amazing, yes, we all agree, only averaged about a dozen carries a game. He would need to be at 26 yards a carry to get to the numbers he thinks he's getting. Not a chance. Emily, it's been too long. Let's see what Emily Kaplan has in store for us for 30 seconds of face time.
The hockey community is mourning the loss of Joey Moss. He was the longtime equipment training room attendant, rather, for the Edmonton Oilers. Now, Joey had Down syndrome and was a shining example for inclusivity. He was actually recommended for the job by Wayne Gretzky in the 1980s. Wayne was dating Joey's sister. He saw him working at a bottle shop and was like, wow, this kid's got really good work ethic. And Wayne, the players, the entire city of Edmonton really embraced Joey, reminding us all that people with disabilities have an integral role in our society. So thank you, Joey, for being a friend and an inspiration to so many.
Thank you so much for that, Emily Kaplan. There are photos circulating right now of the street hockey games Joey would show up at, and he'd bring a friend named Wayne Gretzky. Amazing. See you tomorrow.